Good evening. We called our meeting to order earlier and had a closed session item. Having come back from closed session, our city attorney, any report?
We have no reports out of closed session tonight.
Thank you. We'll begin with Councilwoman Fonzie leading the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please join me in pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie, here. Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First item is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. First item up is Employee Service Awards presented by our City Manager, Wade McKinney. Welcome.
I forgot to put up my pictures, if you could help me there, because hopefully I have a dancing picture of Bill White. First, I want to introduce Bill White. Yeah, that's the picture. It's getting to be famous around City Hall. Bill White, come on up here. Bill White's been with the city for 20 years. He's a fire captain, paramedic in the fire department. He's a tactical paramedic with the SLO Sheriff SWAT team and is a State of California peace officer fire arson investigator. Bill's on several statewide arson committees and has held the office in the SLO County Training Officers, SLO Fire Investigation Strike Team, and several state fire training committees. He's currently the city disaster coordinator and is responsible for citywide emergency training, disaster plan maintenance, strategic planning, and the Emergencies Operations Center. You see Bill all around the city, and he's one of our great fire captains.
Thank you. If you want to say something, you're welcome.
No. Sure, I'll say something. It's been a long time. I was a reserve prior to being full-time for 20 years, for 3 years. This is a great department. I've seen it grow. We've got a lot of fabulous people working for the department as well as the city.
Also, the force behind many of the finance staff reports, using her exceptional writing skills to translate the financial information into something we can all understand. Jerry does the budget message, and we always kind of wrestle over how that's going to be, and she's awesome. This last week with Rochelle on vacation, Jerry had, as you've seen from the news, all sorts of fun times, and she did terrific, and we really appreciate Jerry. You got to get through Jerry to get your department budget approved, and it's not always that easy, is it there, Kurt? And we have Nick Coughlin. I didn't see Nick earlier. There he is, Nick Coughlin right here, 5 years with the police department. Nick put himself through the police academy at Allen Hancock, where he ranked number 4 in his class. While working patrol, he received the Avoid the 14 Award in 2007 for the most DUI arrests that year. He joined investigations as a member of the newly formed community response team, where he serves until his selection as the new crimes persons detective he's now to become. In his spare time, Nick served as the explorer advisor for 3 years, helping to develop youth in our community, getting them interested in public service. He also received the Elks Officer of the Year by a vote of his peers. He actually took me around and toured me through the smoke shops. Quite an interesting guy, this Nick Coughlin.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for joining. Do you want to say something? He's never lost.
Council, City Manager, Chief Cassell, thank you very much. It's been a privilege to serve with this department for the last 5 years. I look forward to continuing to serve the city and the people of Atascadero. Thank you.
Thank you.
And another police officer, Rory Lynn, has also been with us 5 years. Rory is an outstanding employee who was recently named the 2010 Atascadero Police Officer of the Year. Officer Lynn leads by example, both on the street and as a SWAT team operator. As an operator, Officer Lynn has gained the support and trust of his teammates. His knowledge both on patrol and tactical situations makes him an invaluable resource to the agency and to the city. And we really appreciate Roy.
It's been a great 5 years. It's a privilege to love your job, so thanks.
Do we still have all of those employees here that received the service awards tonight? Because there's been a request for a couple of pictures if you are all here. Captain is here. Great. Please come forward. Council would like to join you in a photo. And I think it's a great opportunity to mention, too, a thank you to all of our employees for that recognition we got in a bouquet from the Tribune recently, some acknowledgement that the Atascadero Professional Firefighters Association, the Atascadero Police Officers Association, and Service Employee International Union, and all of our employees joined together in looking at reducing costs throughout the department, looked at pay cuts for themselves essentially over time, looked at increasing, going to a two-tier.
Can't walk as fast.
Thank you. Next item is the consent calendar. Does any member of the council wish to pull an item? Any member of the public? Seeing none, I'd entertain a motion on the consent calendar.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Fonzie, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next, updates from the city manager, Mr. McKinney.
Mayor and Council, first I'd like to compliment all of the council and certainly our former mayors on the great mayor's dinner that we had recently at the Pavilion. Raised over $24,000 for the for the bandstand project, which is going to be one of the great centennial projects that we unveil. In just a few short months here, a little over a year, we'll have our centennial. Going to be some exciting times, and that dinner has sent us a long ways. That's the second time for that dinner, which I hope sticks because it's been quite the success. In the first time, we were able to raise quite a bit of money that handled all the improvements or upgrades of the pavilion that we hadn't been able to do for some time. Lots of things that don't make it quite to the priority list, and it was really a great project. This one raised, I think, over $24,000 for the bandstand. So this is a really, it's a great opportunity. Kiwanis and the former mayors
came forward and did it for us. We lent our name as a co-sponsor, but there's no city effort or money in that dinner. It's really a volunteer effort, so it's really a cool thing generating us some good funds. The second thing, poles that would hold the banners, and we actually have them now delivered in our yard. So we're in possession of the poles, and we're getting close. We're currently engineering the footings and obtaining quotes to get power and the poles, powder coat of the poles black, and figure out how to get those anchors installed. So we hope that that might be together in August of this year. And the next one is the angled parking, keeping reminding people that we're considering this as a real option. It looks like that we're able to move forward on this project. The drop lane analysis works. According to the traffic studies, it should work well for us. Some of the consequences, of course, will be that it will slow traffic down in downtown, which is one of the things we are hoping to do, make downtown more pedestrian and keep it more as shoppers as opposed to people just driving through. It also gives us a significantly greater number of parking spaces at a very reduced rate. We also think it'll provide for some safety benefits for those crosswalks. We're now with four lanes of traffic. We continue to have some concerns as one car will stop and the others don't. And lastly, I want to brag a little bit. The Saturday transit service, this graph is showing our Saturday traveler is proving to be very popular. Since the first day of service, May 28th, ridership has grown, increased more than 100% from the previous North County shuttle. So when we started running the shuttle just here in May and added that Saturday, as opposed to how it used to be the North County shuttle, it's beginning to really take off. The new service has stops at Colony Park Community Center and the Atascadero Lake Park and Zoo, and we're really proud so far of that service, and we'll keep you in touch about how that goes. And that's my update.
Very good. Thank you. And please make sure I get a copy of that graph to share with RTA. I do have a board meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30, and I'd like to mention that as well. Thank you. We move on to our community forum. This is an opportunity for anyone to address the council on an item that is not on the agenda over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we just ask that you state your name for the record. Thank you and welcome.
Is this on? Yes, it is. Excuse me, dealing with allergies here. My name is Ted Morton. I'm pastor of Atascadero Gospel Chapel, and I'm here representing all the evangelical pastors in Atascadero. And we meet regularly every week to pray for our city and to pray for you guys as the leaders. And I just want to take a few minutes here and just be thankful. I was reminded about a week and a half ago, was it? Yeah, celebrated 4th of July. What a great country we live in, and how blessed we are to be able to be in this country we're in, enjoy the freedoms, enjoy the prosperity, enjoy, in our case at least, the beauty around us. I was even talking with someone, a couple guys, about an hour ago, about all the stuff going around in the country as far as weather-wise and just the fires, and when it's not burning, they're underwater. And here we are on the Central Coast enjoying beautiful days. And so I just want to take a moment and thank the Lord, because I believe what the Bible says, that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from our Father in heaven. So I'm going to thank him around us. So easy to take for granted our health and safety. But I acknowledge, Lord God, that you give us every one of those. Thank you for that. And I pray that there'd be a greater awareness in our city of you, so that we wouldn't take things for granted. We'd be thankful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mort, and congratulations, too. I think it was a 60th anniversary Gospel Chapel just celebrated recently. Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
My name's Dane Sensor. First, I'd like to say amen. I was temporarily a resident, and I'm now a new resident of Atascadero as of June 1st. After signing my contract, I promised to be on my best behavior in Atascadero since the Mayor O'Malley is my landlord, as I looked at it. So anyway, in saying that, I been having the opportunity to take a lot of trips to Templeton, Paso, and other ones, and I know there's a concert in the park at the Lake Atascadero, but the one thing that I noticed that was absent is that there's a concert downtown, but there's no concert in that park. And as I went to the first concert on Estrada last week, I noticed that there was maybe a handful of people. And my first thought is, I didn't stay very long, and I walked over to the park, the Sunken Gardens, and I sat there on a beautiful summer night with a beautiful fountain and a 40-some-odd million-dollar project, and I said to myself, why wouldn't the city want to put, instead of on Estrada, and I know you have a purpose to try and enhance the businesses, but if you look at Templeton, you look at Paso in the park, the thousands of people enjoying themselves on the grass with their families, I would suggest it to the city, and as I did to Mr. Martin this last week, there should be an effort to, I think, have a concert there as opposed to the concert on Estrada, only the fact that being people liked grass, they liked the park, and that's such a beautiful park. It's the signature of the city. It's marquee, and it's on the main drag, and it'll bring business. Templeton, they're parking blocks and blocks away. All the outer businesses are being patronized for business there. Same with Paso. So I hope the city takes that into consideration. And even like 4th of July, there was no event. I noticed Heather Young wrote in your paper here that how nice it would be to visit here in the city at 4th of July. So the wine festival is fantastic. There's so many nice things happening in the city. But I'd love to see maybe for that change there as possibly doing concerts there. So hopefully maybe that's in the works. But I think if they have moved it from the street, you would have a greater amount of participation there. So I wish they will take that into consideration. And I hope that can be an asset to the city. Thank you.
Thank you. We will make an adjustment on the light up there, and then we'll start with our next
political catchphrase being touted by Walmart. In their attempt to weasel out of the EIR's logical conclusions, must be seen for what it is, shopping for city taxpayer subsidies. Being credited for circulation impact fees that all commercial businesses pay to the city routinely, based on their square footage for the traffic improvements on the city's official list of areas needing improvement, is a common practice and a separate issue. The Del Rio El Camino interchange and proposed roundabout is not on that official list. While improvements to the overpass are on the list, the city has not funded them. Thus, according to the EIR, Walmart and Rotman are fully financially responsible for the construction of the roundabouts. Outside of credited circulation impact fees, the city has no obligation to help finance these required mitigations and should not. How absurd would it be for a city in such debt to cave into the demands of the richest corporation in the world who is holding up the project and holding the city council hostage as they have publicly proclaimed how much they want the new project? Dropping the Rotman Annex project would for now, according to the EIR, defer for about a year after Walmart opened for business the construction of the three roundabouts that must be done at the same time if they are to be effective. However, with other businesses open, the construction would have to be done. Common sense and good business sense should tell you that this would create a nightmare traffic jam for the residents of the area and indeed the entire city. Changing the phasing, allowing Walmart to come in alone before the traffic improvements are made would fly in the face of reason and recommendations of Caltrans, SLOCOG, the Air Pollution Board, who commented on the draft EIR and the EIR traffic experts. I was shocked and disappointed that the City Council did not ask the applicants of what monies they were talking about at the last meeting, nor clarify more of the issues by questioning staff. This absence of curiosity by the council makes me wonder if there hadn't been a settlement reached already that the council knew about. I assume the council has read the draft EIR and the comments to it. When, and I will take my answer tonight, will the staff be coming back to the council with a report on the options that they are negotiating with Walmart and the Rotman Group. And I know you haven't started those negotiations yet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome, next speaker.
Good evening, staff and council. Lee Perkins from Atascadero. I'd like to compliment the city for deciding on that new parking plan. I believe it was ADE that suggested it originally, and I think it will make a big difference downtown and slow down the traffic for those few blocks and make it more pedestrian-friendly. One person did mention to me that if you did something like this, you might want to consider doing a truck bypass because the trucks would really interfere with visibility going in and out of the lot, parking spaces. Now getting back to the Walmart-Rotman EIR, it's my understanding that Walmart and Rotman came into the EIR as co-applicants, and they said they would both abide by the findings of the EIR. If Rotman steps away from this, wouldn't you need a new EIR? And my second question is, by the same token, would it not be irresponsible
or demonize the line-level employees of this organization? I applaud the employee associations for having open dialogue or having dialogue with the city and agreeing to certain concessions as related to the MOUs. I was out of the state last council meeting, but I sent you all an email about the upcoming contract ratifications with the employee groups. I primarily voiced my concern about the MOU for executive managers. My email suggested that the MOU language was ambiguous. I think I referred to it as quote-unquote smoke and mirrors, and I stand by that assertion, particularly after having listened to the meeting itself on slow span. It's, as I said, smoke and mirrors. It's a slap in the face of not only your line-level employees, but more importantly, it's a slap in the face of every resident and taxpayer in Atascadero. Now, I don't know if you as city council members are complicit in the questionable nature of the structuring of the executive management MOU, or perhaps you just don't get it, but you are doing a tremendous disservice to the taxpayers, and you will ultimately be exposed for such fiscal mismanagement. I didn't hear any discussion about the vacation accrual policy and the violation of personnel rules, so I assume it's just let it ride, at least until the city manager goes out the door with at least $90,000 worth of money and growing. There was no discussion about administration leave, although it appears we are now using different language, furloughs. And to top it off, you've now allowed executive management to identify how much furlough time they're subject to, 1%, 2%, maximum 3%. And you know as well as I that an employee who nears retirement is likely going to opt for 1%. Why? Because it drives their PERS paid pension. So let's not play semantics. Wouldn't it be nice to be honest with the public? And I'll have more to say on this issue on future meetings as I conduct further evaluation. I also like to know that I asked this previously. I asked it of Jim Lewis just before I left. I would like to know the name tonight, hopefully, of the attorney who Mr. McKinney and the administrative services director suggested offered the advice that the city not abide by the personnel rules. This was circa 1997-2000. And I certainly hope that you will answer that question for me tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Hello, my name is Ron Rothman. I live in Atascadero. And I'd like to revisit a suggestion a council member made a while back. A number of years ago, at one of the council meetings, a council member asked representative of Walmart about solar panels on the new building. And as I recall, I don't think there was a real positive response to that. But I'd like to revisit that issue because I think a number of things have changed since that time. Walmart has come out with a green initiative, and I know they're looking to put green technology into their buildings and the products that they sell. I've also I read an article in the Financial Times that said that they were putting in solar panels on their new stores down in Southern California. There was also an article in the Tribune, an issue I think I'd like to see the council work with Walmart and do the things that is going to help the community be a progressive accomplishment in our community. And it's like I say, very seldom do you come across something that is a win for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Seeing none approach, we'll close the public comment portion for the evening. And again, thank you for your comments. Comments made during community forum are not a subject of discussion, but any member of the public that has questions or a need for information can contact our city clerk, Marcia Torkerson, and her business cards are at the back of the chambers and are available there. It sounds like some of the questions may come up during the agendized item in a month or two when we have some follow-up, so that would be fine as well. Moving on to the next agenda item, we have our public hearing, downtown parking and business improvement area, and it looks like City Manager Wade McKinney will be making the presentation.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, we have a downtown parking and business improvement area, as you may recall, and that is an improvement area set up under the Streets and Highways Code, and annually we need to set the assessment. A couple of years ago, as a part of the stimulus package, we reduced the assessment to zero. It used to be equal to the business license, so the businesses downtown would pay a business license fee and then an equal amount to the Downtown Parking and Business Improvement District, and we had Main Street manage that money for us. As a stimulus program, we eliminated that assessment or reduced that assessment to zero to try to help downtown businesses through that period, and then we funded the Main Street operation through redevelopment. We're recommending that you continue at that zero, given the economy has not rebounded, and that we keep the assessment set at zero. You need to hold a public hearing and then adopt a resolution if that's your favor. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for staff from council members? Seeing none, we'll open up to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to comment on this agenda item? Seeing if anyone is approaching here or exiting. Okay. Seeing no one approach the lectern, we will close public comment, bring it back to council.
Move staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Clay, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Item C, management reports, placement of sewer service charges on the 2011-2012 property tax rolls. And it looks like our Public Works Director, Russ Thompson, has this report.
Yes, good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight, again, as we do every year, we are required to set a hearing for the placement of the sewer annual sewer charges on the individual tax rolls for parcels within the city. Tonight, the recommendation is that you are $242 per year, which works out to be about $20 per month. These rates will be submitted to the Town and County Tax Collector's Office by July 22nd for placement on this year's tax rolls. And the purpose of this hearing tonight is really to just receive objections to placing the charges on the tax rolls and not the amount of the charge. These charges haven't been changed for a number of years. And this method of collecting our sewer charges on the tax rolls is a very efficient method for us. It minimizes the amount of staff impact. The county does pretty much all the dirty work, collects the fees, and if somebody is delinquent or doesn't pay their tax bill under the Teeter plan, you know, we would receive those monies anyway from the county. And that, again, just to remind you, that we're just opening a public hearing to see if there's objections to placing these charges on the tax rolls.
Thank you. And again, my understanding is this is no increase in service and continuing the policy of having the amount that is due part of the tax rolls. And I assume that that minimizes the costs of the process and minimizes staff time that potentially would be added in on costs somewhere in the system.
Right.
Thank you. Any other council questions? Councilwoman Fonzi.
This states that it's residential. Does this also apply to multifamily residential and commercial?
Yes, all sewer charges would be handled in the same way, even though those fees are not the $242 a year. I don't have those for you, but all the sewer charges are handled the same way.
So there's a variation in charge for different uses?
Yes.
Thank you.
Other council questions? Seeing none, we'll open it up to the public. Any public comment or question on this agenda item? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council for a motion.
Make a motion to adopt staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next agenda item, Strategic Planning 2011 Update on Council Goals. And I believe City Manager Wade McKinney will make this presentation.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, I'm glad that I get all the good news projects to discuss tonight. Strategic planning goals, as you know, the City Council set three primary goals: economic development, public safety, and city finances. I'm proud to say that we're making good headway, even given the restricted resources, we continue to make headway. We have a variety of new businesses, as we know, opening downtown and other locations. The Office of Economic Development is doing quite well. We continue to reach out. And, of course, the City Council's efforts as ambassadors around the county continues to be one of the good sources of information and leads as you are meeting in your various roles throughout the county. We hear back about what you've said, and that they're hearing that Atascadero is business friendly, or that we have a simplified permit process. And we're getting on redevelopment. City Attorney Mr. Pyrick and Rochelle Rickard, Jim Lewis, and myself, seeing the various levels of potential impact to us. We continue to hear, both through the League of Cities and the California Redevelopment Association and the many attorneys that have been involved in the case, that the lawsuit that is about to be filed by CRA and the League of Cities should be successful, and we hope to hear before the October deadline that there would be a stay or a set-aside of the governor's order with respect to elimination of redevelopment. As you know, there's two bills, AB 26 and 27. 26 eliminates redevelopment. 27 extorts all of the redevelopment money, saying that if we pay our money away to the state, essentially, it says to the school, but then the state's going to turn around and take the same amount of money away from the school, that we would be able to keep redevelopment. We're evaluating that on its face and with the dollars that it looks like are required from Atascadero. We will end up recommending to you adoption of a continuation ordinance, which would essentially pay those funds to the school and keep the redevelopment agency in place. Certainly, it would be a reduced redevelopment effort, and in the out years, the amount of money required to be paid to the school that will be then stolen by the state will be a much reduced number. We're estimating somewhere around $400,000. We can't do the continuation ordinance until the state Department of Finance actually puts out the numbers that they're going to bill each of the agencies to stay in place. We have an estimate that it's about $1.5 million for Atascadero. It's $1.5 million and change. But there's got to be an exact number that the Department of Finance would put out, and that is planned to come out August 1st. So we'll have a dilemma in what we're doing today, in that the bill eliminating redevelopment is signed. It's in effect. So the redevelopment agency today is precluded from doing many things, any project area, any update to the plan, any new agreements, any financings. And so we're trying to understand completely exactly how that limits our projects. But the sooner we are able to move on the continuation ordinance, and the continuation ordinance becomes effective, then the sooner the redevelopment agency can operate again. And you have a couple of projects where we are anticipating making new agreements or going to bid, like the zoo frontage. So until that zoo, until we have the ordinance resuming or continuing redevelopment in effect, which means either two readings in 30 days or an emergency ordinance, we're looking at those options, then we wouldn't be able to let the bid on those projects like the bridge and the Lake Park frontage and those pieces that were coming. So we're really working on a pretty short time frame. It is possible that we would ask for a special meeting sometime in the summer, if in fact that's a possibility, to get these ordinances going so that we don't affect barrage of the governor and continue to do some of your stimulus work. And I guess the very worst news would be that the redevelopment opportunities throughout the state are drying up. There was also this movement on the vehicle license fee. There are still some cleanup bills yet to happen on a variety of fronts, frankly, including the redevelopment front. There's a financial calculation in the redevelopment front that we may look at trying to take some lead action in, that where the law says that we pay the larger of the pass-through to the Office of Education, or of a calculation that you have done by the side. Well, the county's calculation means that we would pay the Office of Education more in a pass-through than we would have if we didn't have redevelopment. And so there's some problems in the law that we need to work with. In addition, you have this VLF issue, where the legislature were trying to protect law enforcement or public safety funds in the COPS program and in the booking fee program that we talked about before. And so they specifically called out those programs and funded them. However, they took the funds from that, from the vehicle license fee that already goes to cities. And so they gave cities $60 million. Is it billions or millions? $60 million and took away $130 million. And so we're still figuring out just what the impact, how that fits in all the formulas. The legislature, many of these bills are happening quick, so they don't even have them. There's not a legislative analyst report on some of those. There's not spreadsheets on how much it comes out. The Department of Finance, like in redevelopment, is saying that they won't even know the number until August 1st. So many of these shakeouts are difficult to determine right now in city finances. We believe that we adopted a very conservative budget and that we'll be able to live through this. But we have, as you've seen, sent out emails and notes to all of our departments to continue to be very vigilant, watching the finances at this time, and restrict as many purchases as we can so that we can just ferret out exactly what the state impacts have been. Overall, our finances continue to be good. We're getting a few tick-ups in some of the revenue areas that we're happy about. We're still optimistic. We think the budget program that we adopted is conservative and will withstand these challenges. And our financial strategy is now 14 years old and still working well for us. So with all of those pieces, our economic development pluses that we have going on, the advances in public safety and the challenges in finance, we're really proud of the work plan that's coming together for the City Council's strategic initiatives.
I guess we say thank you. It probably is the most harmful thing the state of California could do. Attacking redevelopment has been the... Unfortunately, that is the engine that we have done the most good in our community and in throughout the state. This
asking for a certain amount?
In the first year, they're asking for pretty much everything. They're trying to get the $1.7 billion statewide. And so in the first year, where your revenues are close to $2 million, they're looking at $1.5 million. We have built, as you know, fund balances, and we have funds on hand. And you can use the current year housing set aside for those purposes. And so we're going to bring to you a plan that how we would structure that. We think that that is probably the best way to go at this, as the research we've done so far.
So if I'm understanding you right, we would take the housing set aside so you wouldn't be able to fund any affordable housing with that money?
No. The balance you have for previous years in the housing set aside funds, you cannot use for the payment to the state. Only the current year. So there's some funds that could, if you wanted to, go toward the $1.5 million out of the housing. You would still have several million dollars to spend on affordable housing programs.
Thank you.
Other council questions? Seeing none, we'll open it up to the public for any public input on this item. Welcome.
Good evening. Mike Brendler, resident of Atascadero. Based on what occurred during community forum, I presume that the tact is not to answer questions, relatively simple questions, but I'll try again. And this is related to the issue of city finances that Mr. McKinney was addressing. I recently heard that the estimate was 1.5, or the demand that the state's going to make the city of Atascadero's redevelopment agency is 1.5 million. I've heard that as well. And the concern I have is where will that money come from? I can only presume that potentially that we would take that from general fund, which would be a real tragedy. But that aside, I actually support Governor Brown in what he's trying to do with redevelopment agencies, and the reason for that is there have been questionable behaviors with redevelopment agencies throughout California. Things are done that I think are very questionable and probably in many cases unethical. There are some issues that occurred here in Atascadero that in retrospect, I wish I would have raised my hand and asked some questions, but didn't get the advice that I think would be appropriate. I'm not going to beat that pie plate now. But any of you that would be interested, I'd be more than happy to fill you in on some of the things that I think we did, and I say we collectively, that were inappropriate. So, but anyway, if you could answer that, if the general fund is a potential source of the 1.5, should that lawsuit not prevail? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Didn't I just hear you say where the funds options would come? It's not something that comes from general fund.
Certainly not from the city's general fund. There is a fund balance in redevelopment, and you have the housing set aside, and you have other funds. So it would probably come from program funds in redevelopment.
So that's my understanding is we still have significant redevelopment revenue, and they would be taking the bulk of it, but we still have money set aside for some projects, and there'd be a small increment of the increase that might be able to go to future projects. It just prevents the expanded programs we've been able to accomplish in the past.
That's correct.
Thank you. Other council questions? Councilman Clay.
Wade, in regards to the funds for housing, one-year funds, do you know approximately what that might be?
I think it's about $700,000.
$700,000, so that would be about half of the $1.5 million then?
Yes.
Okay, and then would that number be reduced the following year, and so on? How does that work?
It's reduced in the following year if the legislation stands. It's reduced in the following year, and that amount of money continues. The following year, it goes from like $1.5 million down to about $400,000, I think. That would then be each year.
Each year. Okay, and the $400,000 in year after year is always redevelopment funds. It's never funds from the general fund. Is that
right? That's correct. Yeah. One of the things, Councilmember Clay, I'm glad that you asked that question, is one of the things in listening, I think there's a couple of bad faith provisions, if you will, in the legislation. And one of the interesting ones, I think, that we can all appreciate, much like the city pays the ERAF payments to the state, you know, there's the education revenue augmentation funds that come out of our property tax that go to the state. Redevelopment agencies have a similar kind of payment across the state. So in the calculations for how much you have to pay the state, they treat the calculation as the gross number. So even though there's a gross increment, and then you pay part of that to the state, they're still holding you responsible for the money they pay you. They're taking a percent of the money that you're already paying them as in addition to the money that they're going to then drop to this new AB 27 legislation.
Sounds like they got you coming or going.
Other council questions? Seeing none, I wanted to get back to city manager. My understanding is that the league and other agencies had proposed to the governor some reforms that in those few cities around the state where there were some problems and some mishandling of funds, that could be addressed and improve the redevelopment, but those weren't options that the governor chose.
That's correct. Many of those reforms were the kinds of areas, I believe, that they were proposing to tighten up so that the redevelopment funds were truly spent on blight elimination and economic development and not just nicety kinds of things. And others, as you indicated, where there were redevelopment problems that came up, we had offered a variety of reform measures.
That's unfortunate. Thank you. And is that the end of your report on strategic planning, or did you have some? Okay. And that is more of a for our information.
That's correct.
Council announcements and reports area on the agenda. And I did have one item I asked to be put on. Are there other items that we want to get on our list? I'm going to assume we're going to have the Jerry Clay restaurant update. Is there any other council announcements that we'll be wanting to bring up tonight? Okay. Go ahead, Councilman Clay.
Where'd we get that hamburger?
It's next to Hush Harbor.
The Mexican restaurant next to Hush Harbor. You know, I talked to Bob, and Bob said, "You want a good hamburger?" And I said, "Sure." I eat hamburgers, and believe me, it was a great, great hamburger. So thanks, Bob, for turning me on to that. But, Tom, I have something else, if you don't mind.
Of course you do. Go right ahead.
I have the time here. You know, I've got several calls about, you know, why don't we have a 4th of July celebration in Atascadero? And, you know, I remember when I was a kid in the 40s, we used to have a celebration out there without fireworks. You know, we just had sack races and race around the lake and food and music and stuff like that. And I thought it was great, you know what I mean? And so I'm going to try to plant a seed here tonight that between the chamber, the Veterans Memorial Committee, Kiwanis, Rotary, the Elks, the Lions, and any other service club, that we start thinking about, even the Historical Society, Jim, we start thinking about a celebration at the lake on the 4th of July. And certainly it could start out with a service at the Veterans Memorial in regards to our nation's birthday, and it could grow into, you know, some events and who knows, maybe a small car show, some wine tasting, and food, and then maybe in the evening a concert. People really enjoy that. So I want to plant that seed and see if maybe it grows a little bit. And when I was a little younger than I am now, I'd have just taken this thing by the horns and I'd have done it, but I don't have that power anymore. So if everybody out there is, you know, there's the wading pool for little kids, and we could have some bouncy stuff and so on. And I think it could be really neat. And anyway, that's what I'm trying to plant the seed and promote.
Thank you. Will any objection if I appoint Councilman Clay to head up that committee? Good luck. Let us know how it goes.
Be glad to do that. And Bob said he'd help me.
Yeah, okay.
Jerry and I talked about this the other day, and I'll come on board on that. I think it's a great opportunity to showcase the city with our lake park up there. I think I wasn't there in the 40s, but I was there in the late 70s when we used to have the fireworks. Yeah. And that was the central point almost in the county to come to was our lake park. And I think we can renew that. And if we do it next year, we might even be able to do that for the centennial year, too, utilize our park. It's the diamond of the town.
Could I expand on that a little bit?
Well, let's. I think that's a. Tell them to Clay.
No, it's only 7 o'clock, but
it'll be later, very soon. Councilman Clay, go ahead.
Okay. About 5 years ago, we talked about fireworks at the lake, and some of the people from around the lake came, and they were not against fireworks. They were against the policing of people that maybe got too much to drink and they were laying on their lawns and stuff like that. So you still have that area, that shale area across from the bandstand that's where they used to shoot the fireworks in the old days. So I don't think, certainly not this year, maybe a year or two ahead, but I think at some point that may be a possibility where we could have, fireworks at the lake and really have a neat celebration. Thanks, Tom.
Well, we do have an item that's brought up. It's not an agenda item, so we can't get into a lot of detail. We have asked two council members to head that up. I think aiming for 2013, our centennial, is certainly a good idea because we're going to put the centennial brand on everything we do. And we'll just ask Jerry to convince the fire chief about fireworks if he wants, and then Bob will go out and raise some money. I know Paso needed to raise about $50,000 for fireworks, but we've done it before. I think you've brought up many good points. Let's put that on a future agenda and have a little discussion when we can take some time.
It doesn't have to be the city, Tom.
Absolutely.
It can be a part of it. It can be the community.
We won't have a discussion tonight, but you're absolutely right, and making appeal to our community that's stepped up many times. Any other items?
Commenting on things we did? Is that what we're doing?
Well, we right now are going to not comment on things we did, but if there's an announcement or report that's not on your committee reports.
Yes. Well, I would like to report. I had the opportunity to tour Echo this last week, and I'm just amazed when I see the work they do there, how they do it, and how well they do it, and for how inexpensively they do it. It's all because of volunteers and because of many organizations that come together all across this county that work together to help support Echo. So just if you're thinking about supporting Echo in any way, shape, or form, financially or by volunteering, I just would just encourage you to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. And we thank Councilman Kelly for continuing our involvement on serving on the board there. They have done a phenomenal job. It is probably the lowest cost homeless service in the nation, and they have done a very good job.
I think at the last board meeting I went to, I think they're at right around $5.14 per person to feed them and house them. And they serve anywhere up to 50 to 55 meals a night and house up to 36 people. And I did get an email the other day. They are in need for some more volunteers as greeters. So anybody out there, if you have some time and you'd like to get involved, you can go over there and contact them, and they'd be more than glad to let you help them out.
Very good. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yes, I'd just like to report on the Arbiter barbecue that was held out at the factory outlets, and this was to raise funds for the soldiers that are serving in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other parts of the world. And I believe the barbecue actually was very well received. The funds were raised. They're going for a very good cause. That was on Saturday, and also Saturday afternoon, I know several of the council members were present for the Class of 1966 reunion at the Veterans Memorial site. I believe the Class of 1966 had the most casualties to the Vietnam War. It was a very touching ceremony. I think those that attended really got something out of that.
Thank you. And as all have said, we have a phenomenal community that has a lot of volunteers, whether it's a class of 66 that did this special recognition or Echo or the Veterans Memorial, very many good community groups in our community. I would move on with the item I had asked to be put on. We had a discussion with our Unified School District Board recently. As you know, they had a bond measure to consider looking at raising money for our school and considering moving the junior high to another location or rebuilding. I think many folks confuse that measure, kind of like when we had Measure D08 on the ballot. A lot of folks say, well, I thought you voted to build Walmart. No, that was just a ordinance to look at some restrictions that didn't make any decisions regarding Walmart. Similarly, the school bond measure did approve raising funds, but the school board now needs to consider how to use those funds. Do they want to rebuild on site, or do they want to rebuild at another location and freeing up the downtown? Many in our community weighed in on this item at the school board meeting. They've asked for our input, and it's going to be a decision that needs to be weighed in on by our community. I know that we attended a school board meeting. I know that our city manager met with the new superintendent, got a little bit of a feeling for what they are looking for and thinking about. I'd like to have a report from him on that. And then I'm going to just suggest that staff continue to follow up on this item. And with that, we have some suggestions we might bring up as council members that we might want to relay to the school board, maybe ideas we have of how we can help with that decision or our input on that. We don't necessarily have to fine-tune that tonight. We can bring those items up to the city manager, get it to him any way you can, either individually or email, and then at our August meeting we'll come back and have an open discussion about any direction we would like to offer the school board. So let me begin by asking Mr. McKinney to tell us what you learned meeting with the new superintendent.
The superintendent, Ms. Bowers, she said that they were reviewing their studies. They were looking into a study of the San Benito site to see if it would support a junior high, and they were evaluating the various pieces of information that they had about transportation, logistics, size of school, size of the site, which grades go together. And she thought that it would take some time to make sure that they had checked in with the community and they had a good body of evidence and information of which to make an informed decision. She thought it might be helpful that if the city council had particular concerns about relocating or not the junior high, that we itemize those items and pass those along to them, just what our reasons are and what the things are that we're looking at to either relocate or not relocate the school, and that might assist them in their decisions.
Thank you. And I know that the board had raised several questions, and each board member raised questions I think many of us could respond to, including the Historical Society and other members of our public. I know one board member was concerned that maybe the junior high had some historic value in the downtown area, and of course those of us that have seen the E.G. Lewis plans for the community, it was seen more as a civic area, possibly commercial. In fact, I remember when La Plaza, the first shopping center in the world, was in that direction at least. I think there's some concern about the potential economic impact, whether that is a school or potential commercial in the future. And I raised the point at the school board that I think if the school relocated, it could turn into revenue-producing property that could produce an income stream for the school way on into the future, next 40 or 50 years, and that we need to think very long-term and look at the master plan of our community. I know many former mayors like Rolf Nelson, who's been involved with the school district much of his career, was looking at those same points. Are there other topics that we want to think about and maybe consider discussing? We can get on the agenda with our city manager to have some more discussion with city school staff. I believe we're going to have a city schools committee meeting coming up here prior to our next council meeting where Brian Sturvent and I are on, and we'll meet with some school board members. It might be an opportunity for us to raise some questions. But any ideas you'd like to add without getting into any decisions tonight, because we're just going to add to our list to have some discussion at a future council meeting. I see Councilman, Councilman Clay, then Councilman Fonzie.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to comment on the historical value. Really, they tore down the historical value. The old grammar school that I went to was just a beautiful school. It had a courtyard in between and an auditorium, and it was beautiful. And the old wrecking ball had to hit pretty hard to get that sucker tore down, too, let me tell you. But now it's most of the stuff there that's new other than the little gym in the back, and which I like a lot. I played basketball there and so on, but yeah.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
I wonder if it would be helpful if we were to give a copy of our downtown plan to those that sit on the school board, that there are those that are on the school board that live in Pozo and Creston and places that are far removed from Atascadero, that our downtown plan has looked at moving that school for many years. It's always been a topic of discussion to add some depth to our downtown, and I think it would be a good time to take that and give a copy to them so it can refresh their memories on why the city in particular has some interest in seeing that school relocated.
That's a good idea. If I could just insert, why don't we consider having our Community Development Director Warren Frace and maybe Chairperson Roberta Fonzie from Redevelopment offer to sit down with school members one at a time or two at a time if they'd like, and if not able to attend such a session, at least provide a packet of information to each board member. That's a very good point.
That would be great, and I see that we have our Chamber of Commerce here tonight and wonder if they have any input that might be helpful. It might be good for the city to meet with our chamber representatives and talk to them about the impacts and the benefits of perhaps moving the school to another site.
Good. We certainly want to welcome Main Street Historical Society and the Chamber to have some input on this discussion item when we bring it back to Council.
Not meaning to leave Main Street out of the mix. Sorry.
Did I leave off Main Street? What is? Thank you for making sure I included old age. Other comments, direction for staff. Councilman Sturdivant.
Well, kind of the same lines along with the Chamber and Main Street. What about also having the police as well, having their input to the school board on the sunken gardens and the issues that go on there?
Very good point. Yeah, there has been some history there over the years. And I know several former police chiefs have offered to step up and help, but I think that might be a good to have some summary information there. Good suggestion. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Well, just a question. I don't know if there's any traffic studies that have gone on, but since we had Colony Square go through, I think that there's been some issues with pedestrian traffic and other traffic that's caused by pickup and drop-off there at the junior high. And if we could provide some of that data to them on the impacts of the downtown merchants, it would be helpful.
Thank you. And as I told the school board, if I thought it was just a good idea for the city, I couldn't strongly recommend to the board that they consider this. I think it truly is a good decision for the school, not only with what the teachers are thinking about in terms of how they would like to do classroom layout at another site, but also the consideration of producing revenue. And I'm confident enough that I think the city should look at partnering and helping in any way we can on that, because turning that into property tax generating and income tax and sales tax generating benefits the school and the city. So I've asked staff to certainly let us know of any options within redevelopment or looking at the roadways of things that have been raised by the school board. That we want to be able to have an answer for them of what we might do. Did you have another comment,
yes,
Councilman?
Yes, I too wanted to chime in. I think there are things that the city could do to help them relocate. At this point, we don't know what they need, but I think we need to express our willingness to step up to the plate on those items. The one item that I'm a little fuzzy about, I don't know whether we want to go here or not, but when I was at the school board meeting where it was discussed, I heard several contractors in the audience grumbling about the figures that were put up, that the relocation of the school was much more expensive than renovating the school downtown. and there was questions whether those figures were actually accurate. And I don't know whether there's someone that could verify or work on that, but if they were some reason to move the school or they were roughly equivalent, I think there would be more willingness on the part of the school board to do so.
Thank you.
The one that comes to mind is Larry Weissong.
And again, I think as part of Main Street, that would be some good review and input. Other, Councilman Fonzie is completed. Councilman Kelly. Yeah.
I think I'd like to get as much information out to the public and get the community involved of, you know, what the pros are, what the cons are, how much it's really going to cost, I think, which is going to be kind of a difficult thing to do, having been in the building business. Unless you have a set of plans, everything's just kind of a wild guess. But I think there are some people that can come up with pretty good estimates on that. And I think it should be a community project. And we also have to consider that the school district actually goes outside of the city limits. And I think maybe those people have to get involved as part of their opinion on the education part of it, more so than what their importance is to the city. So I think it's an education process that we need to go through so we have the full support in whatever decision the school board makes.
Well, I think, again, that's important to realize. We are a separate body elected. The school board is also elected by a larger geographical area, and they do represent a large geographical area. And I think that is their desire, is to get input across that area. We want to make sure that we can help in any way we can, because we do have some opinions about what we think would be best, and we need to make sure we're helping in any way we can with that. But, yeah, it's the school board's responsibility to make sure they are getting that broad base of input. And we'll certainly help the school with any way that we can that they would like. Other questions? I think it will be an item agendized in the future, and we ask for anyone to weigh in, not only with us, but with the school board if they have ideas on this topic. We'll move on to committee reports, and we'll begin with going down the list we have. I'm first on the list. We have a City Schools Committee meeting considered that Brian Sturdivant and I will meet with the school board and follow up on these items. We did have our County Mayor's Roundtable meeting a couple weeks ago in Morro Bay, and nothing new there. It was a little different that the Mayor of Morro Bay wanted to try not having other staff present. It was just the mayor's, a little more informal discussion, and it was good to talk about more community involvement and some of the things we often talk about are organizations that do so much in our community. I will be meeting with the Integrated Waste Management Authority tomorrow. I actually have three meetings tomorrow, and I did give you a copy of an item that's going to be on the Integrated Waste Management Authority's agenda, and they will be considering an ordinance to look at potentially taxing or most likely banning plastic bags from grocery stores and other areas. Now, this has come up a time or two. I certainly understand the concern in that has happened with the disposal of these plastic bags, but I also raised the issue at a previous board meeting. I was concerned about anything that might add cost to a family's food bill these days, so I want to be very careful of that. I also raised the issue that I wanted to make sure, if a ban is considered, that we make sure there are alternatives offered, because there are some folks that may not be able to purchase these reusable bags that are available at this time in some cases, but will be available for a fee in the future. I know board member Paul Teixeira shared some of my concerns. I wanted to make sure that boxes or other items were available. But I think this is an item that there's a broad Integrated Waste Management Authority board support for, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention. There are several items that can be exemptions that I wanted to make sure we discuss, everything from farmers markets to, for example, Echo often provides plastic bags for folks to make up a lunch for the next day. There's some of these areas I want to make sure are excluded, and I think it's important to get input. I'm certainly going to suggest that rather than moving ahead immediately, I want to make sure that we've heard back from the folks that this affects, like the retailers, because sometimes there's some unintended consequences that maybe we don't know from not being on the front line. So I'm hoping that we have some feedback from the industry, and if not, I would like to get that. And I'd also like to make sure we have input from folks that work with families, certainly in need, Homeless Coalition, others to weigh in. Now, is there some unintended consequences or hardship that this might create, and have we considered all consequences? So I just bring that to your attention. I know it'll be a lengthy discussion tomorrow at our board meeting, and if anyone has some thoughts to share, I would take it. Again, it's not something we can take action on. However, the Integrated Waste Management Board does have the authority to put in a policy that affects countywide. I'll open it up to council.
Take your lights, Tom.
Thank you. Councilman Fonzie. I'm sorry, Councilman Clay, then Councilman Fonzie.
You want some feedback, right?
I would like
your feedback. I'm absolutely against this, and I'm going on record. This is a bunch of baloney. So that's where I stand. And
thank you.
I would like this to be a local control issue. I think it's helpful if the city residents want to have this put into place in a particular city, they should petition their city council, or the city council should bring it up. This is not a countywide ordinance that we need. I'm looking at some of the provisions of this, $1,000 per day violation fee, penalty is a misdemeanor for the store, imprisonment in county jail for not more than 6 months. This is very draconian in some of the clauses that are in this ordinance. I'd like to see it remain a local issue and not a regional or countywide issue.
I'll bring that up. It's a good point. Local control by jurisdiction. Other comments?
Oh, yes. There's so much going on right now when it comes to financial. There's so many people that are hurting, like you were talking about, the unintended consequences of how will people carry their groceries or what can they do kind of thing. So, I haven't had a chance to read this, but it's just we have enough regulation when it comes to what's in our lives, and there just seems to be more and more, and there just seems to be not a concern for people and the conditions that are going on right now. We're in a very difficult economic time, and something that we've never experienced. So I think right now we don't need more right now. We just need to be a little bit smarter about what we do. So thank you.
Thank you. That was a sentiment I shared of just concern about the economy at this time as well. But I will bring that up again. We have, let's see, Councilman Clay, then Councilman Kelly.
Yes, I think the Sheriff's Department has got things better to do than checking out whether people are using plastic bags or not. I mean, we got bank robbers out there and all kinds of different problems. And, this is ridiculous. And I agree with Brian. This is not the time to put more financial burdens on our folks.
Thank you. Councilman Kelly.
I think we have too much of government in our lives right now, and this is a fine example of being way too much. Although if it does proceed forward, Tom, I hope that you will keep the plastic bags in the little doggy containers around the walkway at the park.
That's one example I was going to use. I believe Councilman Fonzie implemented this opportunity, but we have many folks bring plastic bags here to City Hall, and we reuse those around the lake as doggy bags. So cost savings, and that is reuse. So thank you. I see Councilman Fonzie, more input?
Yes, I think that this should be an issue that is handled by the stores, that if a store wants to provide or encourage that use, they should have that opportunity to do so. The heavy hand of government, once again, is reaching in to private industry. If they want to provide the bags for recycled goods or whatever it is, or boxes, or however they want to handle it, that should be their business. I don't think it's the correct venue for the Integrated Waste Management Authority to do this at this time.
Thank you. Well, I asked for input. I'm getting plenty. Thank you. I see Councilman Clay.
Yeah, Tom, the meeting's tomorrow.
Yes.
I hope you'll give them a strong message from our council, okay, please.
I think I have heard from all council members a no vote. I think the local control issue is something that, I don't know if that was clear before, I'll bring that up. I've certainly brought up some economic issues and also some concerns for our low-income folks. So I will pass that on, and some of the law enforcement issues. Thank you. Next item, I will also have, after I begin the day with Regional Transportation Authority at 8:30, and then we'll have our San Luis Council of Government's Executive Committee meeting. And there, again, I am somewhat concerned that I've shared some concerns with the mayor of Paso Robles. The SLOCOG is looking at some policy changes of, again, looking at criteria of how some of the federal funds will be distributed at local level. And again, it's much like Councilwoman Fonzie stated, I am a strong believer that we need local decisions on those funding decisions. The money starts locally, it goes to the federal government, trickles to the state, trickles to the county, and then if San Luis wants to spend more on transit systems, that's great. If Paso and Atascadero want to do a better job with roads, that should be our decision, not necessarily a regional decision. So I will continue to represent that, and I think that is our consensus. Concludes my reports on committees. Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Yes, the only thing I have going on is I represent the city in the Homeless Services Oversight Council, and this week the Housing Committee, part of that group, will be meeting, and we're trying to figure out how we can get not only Atascadero but utilize some of the money that we have in our affordable housing fund, and we've been working with Urban Futures on just how we can put the puzzle together where we can get some of these groups together, utilize the money. It's very, very restrictive by government standards, and it's something that you think would be really easy is really, really difficult. So we're working on that. We do have a large sum of money that we really need to get out there, not only to provide the affordable housing. I think the city council directed staff that we wanted to do the very low and low housing, and hopefully we can provide that throughout the community.
Thank you. And I'm always getting some feedback about your representing us down at the Economic Vitality Corporation board meetings. You are certainly getting the word out that we are business friendly, and I'm always getting some feedback on that. So thank you.
Well, thank you. It's actually very enjoyable to be able to go down there and brag about our city when you hear all these other people complaining all the time. And we're actually, I think, the benchmark in the county that different cities are trying to follow in what we're doing with our stimulus programs, our streamlining of the permit process, and the fact that we actually advertise that we are friendly to business. And the best part of it is, as I go out through the community and check with people that open up businesses or have done building, I can actually say that I get 100% support that our city staff is doing a fabulous job. And it's very rewarding just being a member of the city council that is really happening, and it's all of us, the effort of all of us to put together and the staff, and it's actually really paying off for our city. As you can see, I think we have 9 new businesses that are in the process of having opened up or are going through the process. So I believe we are the leaders in the county.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
No report.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
No report.
Councilman Clay, no report. Any determination or actions from our city clerk?
No report.
City treasurer, city attorney, city manager?
No report.
We are adjourned. Thank you.